Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. It's a joy again to be with you and to open up God's Word together. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 14. Again, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 1352. 1352. As you're turning there, I just want to fulfill the promise that I made to the Terre Haute congregation last week. I was sitting in their worship service and they prayed for you. They asked that the Lord would put his hand upon you and bless you. And I was there and I was like, this is great. I can report to you that the Lord is truly among them. And I preached and I shared that with them. And now I can come back here and say, Terre Haute sends greetings and they're praying for you as well. And you've been praying for them. And I just love when I hear the church is praying for one another. What an encouragement that is. And so let us not lose heart in doing good, but to continue to increase to do that. So Terre Haute sends their greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. So let's turn now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I want to remind you, what we're about to hear is God's holy, infallible, inspired, and errant word given to us that we might hear, be saved, and conform to the image of his Son. So hear with both ears God's word to you. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from darkness. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give him thanks. How glad we are to stand before you, Lord, to call upon your name, to rejoice and to give you praise and thanks for what you have done for us in Christ, that we who were once living in darkness have been transferred now into your kingdom, and we have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you've given us your word, that we might know your will, and that we might apply it rightly and order our lives rightly around it, so that we might please you, be pleasing to you as we follow your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself was pleasing to you, fulfilling all of your requirements. Lord, we pray that we would walk according to your will, knowing that you've given us your word to teach us and to train us and to conform us to the image of your Son. So we thank you. We pray that we would hear, we'd be attentive, and we'd also believe on Jesus, our Lord, who is your will revealed to us, in whom we believe and in whose name we pray. Amen. There's an ancient church history discipleship manual called the Didache, not to be confused and called the Didache, which one time in my house I had it out and I was reading it and somebody said, what's this Didache thing? It's called the Didache. It's an ancient church history document that was a discipleship training manual, basically. And it just summarizes a lot of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount and other teachings from the Scripture. It's literally just a summary. Think of it as sort of a catechism. But this Didache, this book, this training manual begins with this statement. There are two ways to live. Okay, well, I'm an American. We have lots of choices. And that's such a bold statement right out of the gates. There's two ways to live. Well, confident. But it's right. It's exactly right. And we've already sang about these two ways. There's the way of the righteous and there's the way of the wicked. There's the wisdom of God that's revealed through his word and fulfilled through the person and work of Jesus Christ, his will revealed to us. There's the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's worldly wisdom, the wisdom of man, man's best attempts at thinking himself straight. And what really happens in the philosophy and the wisdom of men is it gets really crooked really fast. There's really only two ways to live. The way of the righteous, and then there's the way of the wicked. And the interesting thing about the way of the righteous is God has revealed it to us. We don't have to guess what it is. We can actually know what it is because he has revealed it to us through his word. And his will can be known. You can know what God's will is for your life. He has told us what it is. It's to believe in the Father, and it's to believe in the one whom he sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's will for you. And that you would be sanctified, that you would be conformed to the image of his Son. God's agenda for you is to make you look a lot more like Jesus. That's his will. That's his longing. That's his desire. That's his decree for you. To grow up. To walk. To live. To bear fruit, increasingly so, just as the Lord Jesus did. You can know this. And by God's grace, you can live this. Now, Paul, having received word that the Colossian church had received the gospel in such a way that they had received the word in such a way, Paul writes to them, thanking God, giving God praise. And we talked about this last time I was here, how God gives thanks and praise for the reception of the gospel, that they are bearing fruit and increasing, and that they are showing the love of the Spirit. But then Paul continues to erupt as he's giving the Lord praise and thanks for this. In our passage, he begins to pray this prayer petition, that the Lord would fill them. That the Lord would fill them. And what does he want them to be filled with? He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But he also wants them to be strengthened with all power. Now note those two words, knowledge and power. Because those are two massive themes that are going to flow all throughout the book of Colossians. Because when Paul writes to the Colossian church, he's writing to answer questions that they had in their day, living in the context where so-called wisdom was for sale anywhere on the street. You could go hear the sophist speak in the marketplace, and he would tell you what you wanted to hear. And he would spin it and present it in such a way that it would tickle your ears. And it was perceived as wisdom, but they were really just ear ticklers, telling you what you wanted to hear so that you'd give them some money. Those were the sophists. There were the Epicureans and the Stoics that you could go and get knowledge from. Information on how to live your life. Think of it as a, maybe what we would consider like an Instagram or a blog feed that you go to learn the newest life hacks. Information on how to live your life better. Knowledge was being presented throughout the Greco-Roman world. And everyone in Colossae is very interested in getting more knowledge, more knowledge. And if I could have enough knowledge, then I could get my life straightened out. But Paul's writing to the Colossian church saying, if you've received the gospel, which you have, because the love of the Spirit is among you, you are bearing fruit and increasing, we know that the Lord has given you his word, namely the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have all that you need. You don't need any extra plugins to your Christianity. No, if you've received Christ, you've received all that you need to live a life pleasing to God. You have the knowledge you need. It's in you. He's praying now that they'll be filled with it. They have it, but he wants them to grow in it. He wants them to be overwhelmed by it. He wants their lives to overflow with the understanding that what God has done in Christ, the knowledge, the good news about what God has done for you. And he wants you not just to possess it, but to be filled with it. Knowledge. But the Greco-Roman world was also very interested in this concept of power. Not only having the right information, not only having the right angle on how to live life, but you also need the strength and the power to actually accomplish it. So they would look for these teachers to show them a new way of gaining power. And Paul says, if you've received the gospel, if you've heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have all the power you need. I just want you to be strengthened in that power. You possess it, now grow up in it. Be built up by it so that you have more of it, not in quantity, but that you become more attuned to it in the fact that you possess it, now use it. Be strengthened in it. Be strengthened in it. Knowledge and power. The Greco-Roman world was very interested in knowledge and power and learning all the new angles. But Paul says, you don't need to go to the information shop to get more knowledge. And you don't need to look for a power outside of what you've already been given in the gospel. You possess everything you need. Now be filled up with it and be strengthened by it. He's not just presenting ideas that they can try out. Philosophy up in the air meant to be brought down so they can get worked out in real life. No, he actually gives them what I like to call theology that walks. Theology that knows how to walk in the world. It has feet and it goes somewhere. So the question is, this knowledge that we have, what is it for? This strength, this power that we've been given, what is it meant to accomplish in us by God's grace? Paul's petition is that we see in verse 9 that he prays that they be filled with this knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, knowledge, again, is a Greco-Roman concept that the Colossians would totally understand and know. But the Jews in the congregation, their ears would perk up when they heard the words wisdom and understanding. Remember when David prayed and asked for Solomon that he would be a man who had discretion and understanding, or wisdom and understanding, in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 12? That's David's prayer for his son, that he'd have wisdom and understanding. So when Paul says knowledge, the Greeks go, ah, knowledge. But when he says, but in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, all the Jews in the congregation are like, oh, we're talking about something completely different than just mere information. This is what David prayed for his son Solomon. And then in turn, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, he says, wisdom and understanding. The wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that cannot be bought in a marketplace. Now, these are words that we say, but what do they mean? Knowledge, this interaction with reality, this understanding, the information in order, yes, to navigate life. But what is wisdom? It's one thing to have the information. It's another thing to be able to apply it rightly. That's wisdom. To have knowledge is one thing, but to know how to use it is a completely different thing. That's what wisdom is. Knowledge rightly applied. So Paul says that he desires that the church would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. This is not earthly wisdom. This is wisdom that comes from above. And understanding. Well, what's the difference between wisdom and understanding? Had to do some work on this one. Because aren't they just synonymous? Is it like grace and mercy? Aren't they the same thing? No, they're not the same thing. Nor are wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge rightly. But understanding is the ability to order it rightly. So having the order right of the information that you have, you're able to apply it with great skill. But where does it come from? It comes from God. It's not in yourself. No, it's a gift that you've been given by God so that you might walk. So that you might walk, not run, not loiter, but to actually work it out, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that you might actually live according to God's will. That you would be filled with knowledge, that you'd be given all spiritual wisdom, that you would have understanding, know-how, and ordering, right ordering of the knowledge. For what reason? What is he asking you to be filled for? So that you can walk. So that you can live. Remember, there's two ways to live, but in order to live in the way, you have to walk in the way, not sit in it. not just stand there. For heaven's sake, walk. And I mean that literally. For the sake of the glory of the name of Jesus, walk out what he's given to you. Work it out in your life. Put it into practice in such a way that it gives glory and praise to the Lord. And the Lord looks at you and he says, I'm fully pleased. I'm well pleased with this child who is applying, who's ordering their lives in such a way that they're living out what I've given to them in my word and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Theology is not just mere information for you to assent to. It's given to you to transform the way that you live, that you might walk in it. And in walking in it, God would see that you're living in a manner worthy, worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And the only person, the only audience that we should be aiming to please is our Father, who fills us with the knowledge and wisdom and understanding, so that we might walk, that we might live according to his will in a worthy manner. Now we read this and we see this, but how do we actually do it? How do we walk this out? How do we work this out? We have to be attentive to constantly being receptive to the good news of what Jesus has done for us. To be people who rehearse this, warm our hearts at the fires of the gospel, because our hearts often grow cold, is what the Puritans would used to say. Is your heart cold? Get near the fires of the gospel and warm yourself up there again. Return back again and again and again to the Word of God. Be filled with this knowledge. You want to know what God's will is? Go to the Word. Run to the Lord Jesus and sit at his feet and listen to the one thing that's necessary. Give yourself fully to understanding what God has revealed in the Gospels, yes. But go back and read in Genesis all the way to Revelation and understand that God is speaking to you, giving you what you need to please him, giving you what you need to walk in a manner worthy of him. Be people of the Word. Be people who are attentive to the Word, to receive, but also to go, Lord, teach me how to apply this. Teach me how to walk in this. Having received the gospel, what do I do now? Having heard that I'm loved, and being told that I am to love those who are persecuting me, Lord, give me the wisdom to walk this out. The only way that we grow in love for others is to meditate on how much Christ has loved us. The way we learn to show mercy and grace to one another, whether that be in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, or with our roommates, or with our coworkers, the only way we're going to grow in grace and mercy is to meditate and to think upon how gracious and how merciful God has been to us, and then take that and apply it. Having received the grace, now be gracious. Having received mercy, you've been empowered to give mercy. Oh, but I'm just getting ahead of myself now. Because, yeah, we have the knowledge. We've been given wisdom. We've been given understanding. But the how question really does get answered later on in verse 11. But Paul, before we get there, he says, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And notice how he repeats this idea again that he did last time we were together, how the gospel was bearing fruit and increasing. He can't let go of the idea. He says, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing, there it is again, in the knowledge of God. Growing up and multiplying. Bearing fruit in how you live, how you walk it out, but also increasing in your experience and encounter of the living God in your life. We often think of knowledge merely as information and facts. But in the Hebrew mind, in the biblical mind, knowledge has a lot to do with knowing intimately, engaging personally. It is an interaction with the truth, not just mere absorption of facts and truth, but an encounter. Knowledge is an encounter in the biblical mind. You might have heard the truth. You might have sent to the truth. But have you actually encountered the truth? Have you encountered the knowledge? Having encountered the truth, having received the gospel, it cannot help but bear fruit in the Christian's life. It cannot help but increase as they meditate on it. But notice, he's asking God to do this in them. That God would fill them so that they could walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So that God might, through them and their good work, bear fruit. That God would multiply and increase their knowledge. But again, how is that accomplished? Verse 11 says, being strengthened with power. It's not within yourselves. It's not going to be your know-how or your ability and your strength. No, you will be strengthened with all power that comes from the Lord. According who? According to His glorious might, not your ability, but to God's power working in you. His glorious might. Interesting that He would put glory in front of might, because that's meant to humble us. We're not going to be able to bootstrap this thing. No, we have to show up with the empty hands of faith, lifted up to the Lord and saying, this is what I bring to you. This. How much is in that my hands right now? Nada. Nothing. Zero. This is what we bring. And we have to understand that in order for me to walk in the manner that the Lord would have me, I need power that I don't possess, but He gives it to us. He provides it to us. According to His glorious might. So you bring the empty hands, and He reminds you that you have the Holy Spirit. So yeah, in your hands, nothing. But the gift that's been given to you is everything. How much power? All power. According to His might. But again, we have to ask, but what is it for? We know that the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding is so that we might walk in a worthy manner before the Lord. That's why He gives us knowledge. That's why He gives us His wisdom. That's why He gives us understanding, so that we can walk it out. But what does He give you the power for? We need to be very attentive here. Because the power is not to make ourselves great. The power is not to get our will accomplished or to get what we want done. No, He gives us His power. He strengthens us with all power according to His glorious might for, and my, how we need this, all endurance. You're walking in a world that has its own wisdom. You're walking in a world that there's two ways to live, and there's a contradictory way to your way, and you must endure. You must walk and go through the world enduring. What is endurance? It's the ability, simply, and again, I grew up in Kansas, I need things to be simple. It's the ability not to quit. It's the ability to keep going. It's the ability that even when you get tripped up, you don't stop progressing. You keep walking. Endurance says, I will achieve the end. I will lay hold of the reward. I will press on toward the goal. I will not give up. And the power given to you and the power given to me is given to us so that you will endure. So that you won't lose heart. So that you won't fail. So that you'll actually get to the goal. So that you'll actually lay hold of the inheritance promised to you. Endurance is given to you not, again, by your own strength, but with all the power that the Lord provides, according to His glorious might, for your endurance. Man, I need that tonight. I don't know where you're at. But oftentimes, I'm just, can we go any further? We need power. And the Lord provides it. Because you and I, we need endurance. Hebrews talks of it in Hebrews chapter 10. Before it gets to chapter 11, you know, that great testimony, that hall of faith. The writer says, you have need of endurance. So now consider all these people who endured. Consider Abraham. Consider Noah. Consider David. Consider all those who you know personally that have endured to the end. Where did they get that power? From the Lord. And what kind of power was it? It was the power that's according to His glorious might. Not human strength. Glorious might. Not earthly wisdom. Not earthly power. No, the power and the wisdom that comes from above. It's for your endurance, but also patience. Not only the ability to endure, but the patience to walk. The patience to maintain your composure in the moments of temptation and trial. Knowing that, yes, the heat on the pressure cooker might get turned up, but you won't give up because you are given power from on high to endure and also to have patience. And then Paul says, with joy, that you might endure and you might have patience with joy. No grumbling. No complaining needed, because you are provided all the power that you need from Almighty God to endure these days. Yes, this day, and the next day, and the next day after that. But not only to endure, but to endure it with patience, with joy. Knowing that the God who provides and promises you these things, He will deliver. He will not abandon you. He will strengthen you. How did the Lord Jesus Christ endure the cross? How did He scorn the shame? He put all of His confidence in His Father and His power and His promises. And with the joy set before Him, He endured, keeping His eyes on the promises that God had given. And the power that God had given, He's able to endure, and so are you. All that we need, all the knowledge and all the power has been given to us. Don't look for any new plugins. Don't go down to the marketplace of ideas looking for a new angle. You don't need it. You have all you need in Christ. And Paul says, Lord, fill them. Strengthen them. And we have this word for you tonight. God's word for you. Be filled. Be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you can walk in a pleasing manner to the Lord. But we also cry out that you would be strengthened with all power so that you can endure and with patience, and do it in such a way that you can say, I have walked, I have endured, I've been patient with joy. And so, Paul says, in light of all these things, we do this, giving thanks. Again, wait, didn't we do the Thanksgiving passage and that portion up in verses 3 through 8? Paul brings it right back in. He can't help but being thankful. He can't help but remind you to be thankful, because one of the chief sins of humanity is ingratitude, according to Romans 1, remember? because of their ingratitude. They go their own way because of their ingratitude. They're unthankful. But you, giving thanks to the Father, why? Paul gives thanks, gives praise to the Father because he's qualified you. He's approved of you. He said you're in. You're in what? He has qualified you. He's accepted you. He's approved of you to lay hold of the inheritance of the saints in light, those who walk in the way of the righteous. You have been pre-approved. You have been qualified. Are you looking to Christ? Have you received the gospel? Are you trusting in Him, putting all your confidence in Him? Then you can know that the Father has qualified you. Why are you looking for approval from someone else? Why are you looking for acceptance from somewhere else? Why are you trying to lay hold of any other inheritance other than the one that you've already been qualified for? The one, the inheritance of the saints in light. The final reward, the glorious reward given to God's people who walk in the way of the righteous. Who are truly like their Lord and Savior, the blessed man who walks in the way. You know, not the way of the wicked, but the way of the righteous. There are only two ways to live. And the Lord has qualified you and taught you and instructed you to walk in the way of the righteous. And He's already qualified you to lay hold of the promise, the reward, the inheritance. Give the Lord praise that you have heard, that you've received this good news. Maybe you're sitting there tonight thinking, I don't feel very wealthy. I don't understand, like, these promises, where do they come from? They come from the Lord Jesus. God's will for us is easy to know. He's told us what it is. Believe on Him. Believe that He has knowledge to give to you right now. Believe on Him that He has all the power that you need to endure life in such a way that you please Him, your righteous judge, but also your gracious Father. Believe Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus. You'll be saved. You'll be delivered. But you will be given everything you need to walk in the way of the righteous. How do we know this? Because look at the saints around you who are walking in the way. They've been delivered. Because Paul says He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, the way of the wicked. It's just another way of saying the way of the wicked. The domain of darkness. The way of the world. Groping around in the dark trying to figure out where the light switch is. But there are those who've been delivered from that domain because the Lord Jesus has brought them into the light. He's transferred them out of the domain of darkness and transferred them in to the kingdom of His beloved Son. The light has come. Come out to where He is. Believe on Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. Brothers and sisters, those of you who have been transferred from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, rejoice. Give thanks. You lack nothing. There's no knowledge that you don't already have given to you in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Everything you need has been given to you. Be filled with it. Do you feel weak? In your body and in your spirit and in your soul right now, be strengthened by all the power that God has given to you. So just like those who have not yet believed, we also need to continue to believe. Are you feeling weak? The Father's here saying, I've given you all knowledge. Be filled with it. I've given you all power. Be strengthened in it. Because you're no longer a citizen of the dark domain. You are now citizens of the kingdom of My beloved Son. So walk in the way with Him. You have all that you need. Because it's in Him. It's in Him that you've been redeemed. It's in Him that you've been rescued. It's in Him that you've been saved. And what have you been saved from? The way of the wicked. The way of the sinner. The way of the scoffer. All that has been forgiven if you're walking with the Lord. If you're walking in the way. So, brothers and sisters, realize what God has done for you and give Him thanks. Realize what the Lord has done for you and grow up in these things. Because this is not just mere information for you to know more about theology. No, this is knowledge and power to transform the way that you walk out of here into your Monday. This is knowledge and power to transform you to endure and to be patient with joy. This is life given to you so that you, with Paul and with all the saints in light, might erupt in thanks to God for what He's done for us in Jesus. We don't lack a thing. All knowledge and all power has been given to us. Be filled. Be strengthened. Give thanks. Because you have been called to walk in the way of the righteous. And so may God strengthen you and empower you and teach you to endure and have patience with joy. You have everything you need. And for those who have not yet looked and turned to the Lord, how about now? How about trust? Put your confidence in Him now. Consider the promises. Consider the lives of those, maybe the person who invited you here tonight. Consider their life and how they're walking in the world with joy. You can do that as well, walking in the way with Jesus. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You've given us Your word so that we might walk in the way of the righteous, pleasing to You, and also in a manner that's worthy of our Lord. So, Father, we ask that tonight, that having heard the petition that Paul wrote for the Colossians, that You would accomplish Your word in us, that we would be continually filled with the knowledge of Your will, and that we would also be strengthened with all power. Not the knowledge of the world, not the power of the world, but the power and the knowledge that comes from above. Lord, we delight knowing that You have spoken to us. Now may we walk in a way that's worthy of our Lord, fully pleasing to Him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.